جی بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم. So we reach the point of this debate, right, between Maulana Khalil Ahmad Saharanpuri Sahab Rahmatullah Ali and these people in Bawalpur. So the accusation made against Maulana Khalil Ahmad was that on Auzu Billah he has become kafir. What is senior alim and what they are saying about him. And we get upset over little things. Somebody, one customer in the shop, just came there and said, no, you see, you're selling reject things here. Finish. What you said? Alas, no, so upset, insulting my goods, insulting my shop. How can he talk like that? One staff must just say, oh, but boss, you know what, you're not paying us right. Imagine they told Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's no justice in this distribution. They told Umar radiallahu anhu, you are not just when you're distributing. Right? Like somebody just tells us now how we flare up. We're so upset, so angry. So when we're reading their lives, we must take lesson. Reading, whether it's the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, pious predecessors, take ibrat. That's why we read it. We don't read it as a storybook. We're just reading events. No. We must take the lesson. What a thing they were saying about him, right? But yet he was composed, yet he was calm. The false notion needed to be rectified. And they asked for the debate, not him. He didn't ask for the debate, they asked for the debate. And then with the mashwara of the elders, he was sent with other ulama to go attend the debate. So, we're reading this article now, appended article in Akhbar Nizamul Mulk, Moradabad, dated 25th August 1889. In the newspaper this thing came. If Ghulam Dastagir called me a kafir, because that's what that Ghulam Dastagir, he made that accusation, then the lamp of lies does not light up or spread. In lieu of this, I called him a Muslim. Because the recompense of lies is lies. So all praise is due to Allah Ta'ala. Durood and salam be upon Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I say to these people who have been blessed with Allah-given understanding, with regard to the following fatwa dated 11th July 1889, whose question and answer has been written by Maulvi Ghulam Dastagir Qusuri. You people may have studied it and gauged its correctness and incorrectness. However, because I hold the same beliefs as Maulana Maulvi Khalil Ahmad Sahab and was present in the debate in Bawalpur, please listen to what I have to say as well. The gist of the fatwa is this. The argument is not with Khalil Ahmad and his co-believing Ahlus Sunnah. Rather, it is with the very disrespectful Wahhabi Ismaili sect from whom Ghair Muqallideen, what we call Salafis, right? Ghair Muqallideen and atheist sects have sprung forth in India and other places. It is wajib on the people of Islam, the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah, to keep away from them. All praise is due to Allah Ta'ala. Since we are firm on the beliefs of the Ahlus Sunnah and we prove with absolute confidence and solid proofs which none of the opposition can refute, that our beliefs are in total accordance with the beliefs of the Ahlus Sunnah, We have no objection to Maulvi Ghulam Dastagir and his followers stating that we are not part of the Ahlus Sunnah and that we are kafir. Why should we worry about what they are saying? What they are saying doesn't make us what they said we are. Our thing must be with Allah Ta'ala. Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali used to say, if somebody has to point out, you know, accuse you of something, point out some faults, call you something, so listen carefully to what he's saying. Study it with an open heart and open mind and check whether there is essence in what the person is saying. If there is essence in what he's saying, then thank him and rectify ourselves. That's what we want to do. We want our Islam. So we couldn't see our fault. That man pointed it out for us. So thank him for that and rectify the situation. And if what he's saying, he is mistaken, there is no essence to what he is saying, then make shukr to Allah Ta'ala that, Ya Allah, I'm not guilty of what he's saying. And carry on. The first reason for this, just on this point, the other day we were discussing that if somebody said something, somebody upset us, why must we retaliate? Just be quiet. Don't say anything, be quiet. So one person who had taluk with Hazrat Rahmatullah Ali phoned me after that program. He said, no, I was listening to it. He said, one incident came to mind where somebody really told me something that really hurt me, you know. He really said something that hurt me. I don't want to go into the details of what the incident was because you don't know who's hearing this now. You don't want to create more problems anyway. But he just said, you know, he didn't give me any names, but he just said, you know, the person said to me something really hurt me. And I phoned Hazrat. And Hazrat was on Safar at the time. He was traveling. I told him, you know, I'm fuming. Like, you know, this person said this thing. And Hazrat told me, you don't say a word. Don't say a word. Don't retaliate in any way. You meet him as normal, smile, be totally normal with him. Don't say a thing. Not asar. Not easy. Right? But if a person wants his Islam, then he has to listen, he has to follow it, right? To follow it. He said, I never told that person anything. I just continued as normal with him. So when you were mentioning that, it reminded me of that incident. At one stage, I was also going through some, like a difficult patch. This was after Hazrat had passed away. I went to make mashura with Hazrat Abdul Haq Mazdar Sahib. He told me, khamosh. Khamosh. Don't say a word. Don't say anything. Just leave. Khamosh. It's not an easy thing. When the mashayikh, when they advise you something and you listen, then later on you see the fruit of it. You see the benefit of it. At that time, your blood is boiling, you know? Blood is boiling, and now you feel normal. I need to say something. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never took personal revenge. He fought for deen. If Allah's law was broken, there he implemented the hudud or whatever needed to be done. He did it. Right. But personal things, that he never took revenge for personal things. When it comes to those things, khamosh, Sometimes you need to clear the air. It's necessary to clear the air because it can affect your reputation, affect your khidmat of deen. So you need to clear the air one time. So Hazrat used to say, clear the air one time and khalas. After that, after you clear the air, you know, today is keyboard warriors, you know. So if you clear the air too, now somebody else will write something. Somebody else will say something. You did your duty. You cleared the air. Now who wants to write some more? Who wants to listen? Who wants to believe? Who don't want to believe? That's not in our control. We can't control everybody's tongues and everybody's minds and whatever. If we are wrong, we make tawbah, make istighfar, make amends, move forward. If we are not guilty, then don't worry about it. Keep moving. The same principle of the wife too. We'll adopt the same principle of the wife. We just took her last week to see her parents. 2 weeks before that, we took her to see her sister's baby. And 1 week before that, we took her other niece who was getting married. And now this week, she wants to go somewhere, but you got some other camp. So you say, no, this week we can't make it. Maybe we'll see next week. I'll take you there next week. Yeah, when it comes to my family, you don't ever give importance. It's not if it was your family, then you'd have run to go. So that time also now we must sit and think, am I guilty of what she's saying? Am I guilty? So if I'm guilty, then I must apologize and make amends. I'm wrong here. I'm not taking your family into consideration. So, no, I'll take you. And if I'm not wrong, if I'm not guilty of what she's saying, how much? She's saying it. I'm not guilty of it. I know I took her last week. Whenever there's some important thing, more mayat, whatever in a family, always take her. Child is born, we go, whatever. So now, what she's saying, she's just talking out of emotion. She's just upset, she's blurting out certain things. So why do I need to respond to this now? I don't need to respond. Just keep, let her say what she wants to say. She finished saying she's still my wife. It's not that she's going to say all this year now. She's no more my wife. She's still my wife. She's still in my house. She's still the mother of my children. No. Abiz Hansa Sahib, Natana Feliz Kabarun, I always remember this. I was very young that time when he was, you know, to sit in his majanis. I remember this one. I suppose maybe a certain thing just stick in your mind, you know. So he said, he was talking about a wife who is caring towards the husband and another wife who's not so caring towards the husband. So he said, you came late. Khilaf-e-mamur. Normally you come at a certain time, now you came late. For whatever the reason was, that wasn't a zamana of cell phone that you could have informed. So you came late. The wife who doesn't really bother, she's not bothered what time you came, what time you went. She's gone to sleep. She's gone to sleep. You came whether you hungry, you're not hungry, whether you ate, you never eat. No, you sort your own life out and you carry on. And that wife who, she's very worried now. Because you are her world. You are her whole world now. Right? So now, you didn't come now. Now she is so up, she's so worried, she's getting anxious, she's thinking the worst things now. People are getting kidnapped nowadays, hijacked. What if you had heart attack on the way home? What if you had accident on the way home? What now? So many things are going through her mind. And she's getting worked up now. Women are like that. They get very, very worked up. Now eventually, when you do arrive, all that pent-up pressure that she was building up now, waiting for the phone to ring, is now going to get news. He's in the hospital, or, you know, all those things going through her head. Now when you walk in cool and calm now, no, nothing wrong with you. So that pressure pot, you know, can release the pressure now. When you release the pressure, it makes a big sound. Steam. The new ones are different. The new pressure pots, they're different. And the old one, when you release that thing, makes a big noise and the whole pressure, all the steam comes out. So she goes like that. She goes like that. Where you coming from? You didn't say anything. No, how worried I was. But what Havisar mentioned, he said, she'd be taking off with you. She's so upset. She's shouting you. But hati hati, she's warming your food also. She too never eat. She's waiting for you to come. She's warming the food too for you. So all what she's saying is out of concern. There's no adawat, enmity or anything. It's just now her fears have been added, and in her mind now, you put me through such an ordeal, and you think, what, you sitting here comfortable now, is what ordeal you went through. But she at that, how many things were going through her mind, how many fears, how many, now when you came now. Now she blames you for all what she was thinking. All what she was thinking, she had to take it out on somebody now. So she takes it out on you. Gee. The first person for this is that it has been the norm for the people to be antagonistic towards such adherence of the truth and such people of Allah Ta'ala. Those who speak the truth have always been maligned. This is not something new. Take a list of ulama and you will find that from the beginning to the end, not a single one was safe from accusations and curses. Think about Sayyidina Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman and Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhum. In fact, think about the Sahaba radiallahu anhum from Nabi Akareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's family. Think about the Ummahatul Mu'mineen radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'in. Not a single one of them was safe from the accusations and criticisms of such people. Look at the various statements which they made against the Imam Mujtahideen, the Imams of Fiqh, especially the things which they said against Imam Azam, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi. What was said about him, Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi? Look at what they did to the pious servants of this ummah. No sooner any of them uttered the truth, he was labeled something. Even to the extent he labeled a kafir also. People don't want to hear the truth. What they call it, the bitter truth. The bitter truth. Now see, if you are having a wedding function, right, and you invited one Mauli Sahab there, he came there, did one big fatiha, gave one talk, right, sat on, eat. But in that function, there's so many wrong things taking place. But everybody would be very happy with that Morana. Hey, Imam came, Morana came, you know, Sheikh came. What a talk he gave, man. What lovely. You ask him what he spoke about that they won't know. He gave a nice talk, right? Met everybody so nicely. He's got his barkat, you know. Everybody will be very happy. But if an alim had to come there, all wrong this way. These things are wrong. You're not supposed to do things like this. Now nobody is happy with him. But he is teaching us the right thing. And the other one, he overlooked all the wrongs. This person is teaching us, he's concerned about us, he doesn't want us to sin. But we don't like him. We got a problem with him. Look at the manner in which Shaykh Akbar Muhyiddin bin Arabi rahimahullah, Imam Ghazali rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat Shaykh Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullah alayhi, Abu Madian Maghribi rahmatullah alayhi, and others were derided and labeled as kafir. These people too were labeled as kafir. Look at the hadith scholars of the ummah and how they were treated. Look at how Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi and Imam Nasa'i rahmatullah alayhi were treated. Leave all of them aside and look at how the different anbiya alayhimu salatu wassalam were treated. Why go so far? Study the ahadith and look at how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was treated. If you cannot study the ahadith, look at what Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif. In this way, we made for every prophet enemies, mischievous humans and jinn, who teach each other embellished words by way of delusion. Had your Rabb willed, these people would not have done this. Therefore, leave them and that which they fabricate. In English, what they say, let barking dogs bark. Why are you worried about it? You can't bark back at a dog now. Just leave it. Keep moving. Hazrat Ji, Mashallah rahmatullah alayh, he used to say, Hati chalte rahenge, aur kutte bongte rahenge. He said, the elephants will keep walking. The dogs will keep barking. The elephant don't worry about the dog. What can the dog do there? It will just bark and bark and bark till it gets tired of barking and run away. Can't harm the elephant in any way. The elephant just keeps moving. So keep moving. And other statement of Hazrat Imam Muslimah rahmatullah alayhi used to say, apni maslak ko choro mat. Don't leave your way. What you know is haq, it's correct, it's according to shariat, sunnat, whatever, don't leave that. Dusre ko chiro mat. Don't sit to interfere with others. Don't sit to interfere with others. Continue your work. Because there are ulama here and students of Neem, etc. See, you must remember something. You got a piece of land, right? You got a piece of land. And there's a lot of weeds growing. The weeds are coming up. It's a big piece of land. And some thorny trees and some weeds and all that are coming up. And you want to clean this land out. So you can adopt different methods. One method, you start pulling from one side. One weed. By the time you go quarter way, that quarter that you clean, some more weeds are coming out again. And the other way you can do it is you just wait for the dry season. Wait for the dry season and you put a match. You put a match and let the fire do the work. It will burn the whole thing. Everything will get burnt. When You won't have to go and pull out each weed. Now the whole place is burnt. Now you can clean up and do what you need to do. But remember, you see, every speaker that comes to the country, now you want to sit and character assassinate that person. Yeah? Now what will happen? You will get the sponsors of the event. Right? They have to retaliate because their money is at stake. They will pay this person top dollar to bring him. He charges so much per performance. Right? So now they have to retaliate. So either they'll retaliate themselves or they got their chelas to retaliate on their behalf. Right? Then you will get the diehards. Jahil diehards. So they, a hook or by crook now, they have to support. So they are just, they got this asabiyat in them, right? That's the hero, now finish. You can't, he can't do anything wrong and nobody can talk anything against him. Right? We like him, finish. Or her. Right? And then, you get a large percentage who don't know nothing about it. They wouldn't have went, they wouldn't have known who this person is, nothing. Right? But because now this whole hubbub started, alright, who is this chap now? Now from that group, some will fall that way, some will fall this way. And then you will get the group, which is a very small group, who are sincerely searching the truth. So they will accept what you say. Right? So the other way to do it, the other way to combat this problem is the ulama of haq must escalate their efforts. You don't have to fight with anybody. Sometimes the seniors, they have to highlight certain things. That's a different story. The ulama of haq, they must escalate their efforts of deen. So now, for example, if you are teaching, right? You gave your name for a Jummah, you doing some program somewhere. You're talking to your students. You're explaining to them. Now, can anybody else come and influence them? You're the imam in your masjid. You're making imamat, for example. You're giving 364 jummas for the year. Now the mutawallis, they decide to bring one modernist. The fellow is visiting and they say, no, this chap is going to make Jummah. So you tell him, no, I don't advise it. They overrule you. He's coming to give one Jummah. You give 364. You think in his one Jummah, he's going to now change the whole mind of all the musallis there in your masjid? No. If you were doing your work, after Fajr, you're doing some Quran Tarjama, for example, then during the week you got one ladies program happening, obviously under Mashwara, everything, right? Then you got some adult fit classes happening, then you're having some other program, you're having one 1 minute madrasa, and you're working with that community for 10 years, 15 years, you meet the zen of that community. The musalli, the people who were your students, now their children are your students. Soon their grandchildren will become your students. You are the influence in that area. Not the one person going to come from America one time and he's going to talk some. Yes. If we never do our work with our community, then people can come and influence them. If all the time there is takaza of deen and we shying away, we don't want to fulfill any takaza of deen, then other people can come and jump on the bandwagon. I mentioned this thing, and there is one masjid in Durban, right? So that masjid was no man's land. What I mean is, they had no like a pesh imam. If you went there for namaz, they saw you, you make imam. They had no like a pesh imam. They had one Malawi brother there, he give the azan also, he perform, if there's nobody, he perform the namaz also. Anymore. Jummah time, they have to look for Jummah speaker. So one person who's a hafiz, but now he's got some innovative, you know, bid'at in his life. Allah, he died there, Allah protect us all. But his belief systems is that way. So he started giving two Jummahs a month. He told the people in charge, you know, two Jummahs a month, I'm ready. Right? And the other Jummahs too, if you're having a problem, contact me. He's not getting paid for it, nothing. Voluntary. Right? Then slowly, you know, man, Thursday night, you know, we'll have one Yasin Sharif, read a little bit Durud Sharif. Now, where is all our ulama? They didn't hold that masjid. Right? They didn't grab it. Currently, if you go to that masjid, you actually feel uncomfortable now. Because so many, you know, bid'at practices taking place. Now, we will come now. Yeah, this fellow, what is he doing here? He's just a hafizab, what is he doing? Oh, who let it go? This is not in China and in Vietnam and all that. It's in Durban. Right? So we're not doing our work. Now imagine one of the students. He's still a student, right? He, in the third year or so. He sends me a message. He says, the imam of, they live in one small place, so the imam there is from another country, so doesn't have a good command of the English language. The imam called my father, and he said that I must give the Jummah, the Eid Bayan, and perform the Eid Namaz and all that. So now what I must do now? So I told him, no, you must do it. You must do it. But I gave him some guidelines, what to talk about, what to stick to. Because, you know, he's not an alim or anything, which khutbah, kitab he must use, and what content he must talk about, and do it. Right? Because, but remember in these small communities, you got people coming from other countries. They got one shop here. They got one stall there. What's their belief? You know? Somebody may be Salafi. Somebody may be Shi'i. Somebody may be, right? And the person, the imam, he's feeling now, I can't address the community. So if you say no, that person is going to say yes. Slowly he'd start giving the Jummahs, slowly he'd start one program. Then when he starts now spreading Salafiyat, then now we want to fight. It's too late. He already got the confidence of the community. When nobody was feeding us, he was putting something in our mouth. Now you're coming to say he's bad. There are so many incidents like this coming to my mind. We shying away, we going in the back. Then when they come and take the thing, then now we're sitting. And then we want to complain. But when the thing is there, it's ripe, it's there for the picking, we don't want to put ourselves forward. We don't want to go front. Thus these people did not even abstain even from Allah Ta'ala. People they didn't even leave Allah Ta'ala alone. They never leave Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam alone. So if they say anything to us, because we are adhering to the truth and we're following the sunnah of Rasul Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then we have no complaint whatsoever. In fact, we can very happily say that we have received the legacy of our spiritual fathers. Just as they were maligned, just as fingers were pointed at them, etc. Same thing is happening to us. While our opponents have opted for the legacy of their spiritual fathers, Shaitan and his followers, for they are the ones who are maligning those who are on haq. So all praise is due to Allah Ta'ala, all praise is due to Allah Ta'ala. We are pleased with Allah Ta'ala's decision concerning us. The second point is this, as per the order of authentic ahadith, the statement of kufr, when you label somebody a kafir, this always returns to the person who makes the statement, if he attributed it to someone who is not worthy of that statement. Somebody who is not eligible for that statement, and you call the person that, then that will come back to you. Allahumma hafazna. That's why our ulama, they were very, very careful. Very, very careful. As far as possible, they never labeled a person a kafir. They tried to make some, you know, ta'wil of what he said or something. They never labeled a person a kafir. Right? And they used to say, our work is to bring people, to make people Muslim, not to make people kafir. Our kaam is to bring people in the fold of Islam, not to take people out. Today's zamana, very quick to label people. Kafir, munafiq, very quick with these labels. So we mustn't do that. Sometime, the elders, they sometimes have to do something to protect the ummah or whatever. We mustn't think now we became elders now. We're going to say those things. So, one of the two shall have the statement of kufr attached to him. Either the person who you called a kafir, or the person who called that person a kafir. All praise is due to Allah Ta'ala. We are neither separate from the Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, out of the circle of Islam, nor is any belief of ours in contradiction with the beliefs of the Ahlu Sunnah. Therefore, all this abusive language, accusation of deviation, and accusation of kufr, goes back to Maulvi Ghulam Dastagir. And as per the authentic ahadith, all these accusations and curses revert to him and not to us. And it's quite a lengthy article explaining. They didn't even come to the points of the debate as yet. Still have to come to the points of the debate. If Allah Ta'ala give tawfiq, let's try and read up these sawanih, the sawanih of the pious predecessors. There's a lot to learn from it. What to learn? One is, by reading their biographies, we are blessed spiritually. There is a noor in their biographies, so we are blessed spiritually. The other thing is, by reading their biographies, a lot of times we'll think we're talking about this zaman. Because you must remember that the tricks of shaitan are the same. Shaitani tricks are the same. He just paints it different. Gives it a different painting every now and again. But the trick is the same. So when you read what happened that time, then it will open up our mind to what is happening now. Oh, but this thing was happening from then also. So those people who are saying that these are our elders, those very people, the same thing that was done to these elders is being done to them. For example, now we're getting currently these speakers coming from America and UK and whatever, and there are some of our local people, learned and not so learned, who are like aligning themselves to that kind of manner, and you know. So they don't call these people their elders. But the people who call these people their elders, our asatiza, our mashayikh, our principals, they always referring to these people. And whatever they do, they try and do it according to the principles that these people laid down. So you find that the same test that they went through, they are also going through. And this is the same thing that Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through. Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam went through. You know, they say, when everybody is happy with you, you have no enemies, you know. Everybody is happy with you. But no, you're doing something wrong. It can't be that everybody is happy with you. There has to be people. If everybody is happy with you, then you are not speaking the bitter truth. Right? You see, in journalism, a journalist, whether it's in radio, whether it's in TV, whether it's in written form, whatever, they want everybody must read their article. They want everybody must listen to their station. So in the art of journalism, they teach you how not to offend any, what they call it, constituent of your listenership. The art of speaking. So even if you're interviewing somebody, that person has got certain strong views. You know he got certain, that's why you called him on air, right? So he got certain strong, but you, the way you must, you put your questions and your responses in such an unbiased way, right? That nobody in your listenership can get upset with you. And that's why every now and again they will say, the views, you know, the views expressed by the guests and whatever is not the views of the station or of this paper or of this channel or whatever. We mustn't offend anything. We must maintain our listenership. It's a business end of the day. So everybody must be happy with us. So if everybody is happy with us, then we are not speaking the bitter truth. Not speaking the bitter truth. When you're going to speak the bitter truth, definitely there's going to be people that are not going to like you. You're not going to be welcome in certain circles You won't be welcome in certain circles. When you start changing your life, and you want to bring about certain changes and you want to adhere to certain principles, you're not going to be welcome in every dawat. They know when to call you and what time to send you away. Because now, all the other tamasha that they want to do, they can't do in front of you. So if they know now that, okay, after that meal, we're going to the gardens to make, the oldies, after the wedding reception or whatever, then they used to go to the garden. Those days, there were some pretty gardens around. Now the gardens too are all finished up. So they go to one garden and now they call that fellow from the studio. He must come with all his equipment now and they do the photo shoots. So for their photo shoots, they won't call them Moanasa. Till everything was segregated and everything was little bit, till there he must be there. Now once that part is over, right, you go away now. Now we got our other things to do. So one side they can still say, hey, Moa came for our function too. But Moa never see all the other things too. So they know. So you won't be welcome in all the circles. You won't be able to take part in all the discussions, all the conversations. Sometimes you'll feel alienated. I remember in one mashwara, when it was being discussed with Hazrat Muhammad al-Hamid Sahib, the different fitnas now that are coming about in our country. And now the question was that, do you tackle these things head on? Or what's the way to deal with these fitnas? So for a long period of time, the Akamirin, they were saying, this musbat pehlu se apne kaam karte raho. Don't point fingers at anybody. From a positive angle, continue doing your work. And escalate your work. Do more work. Educate people from a positive way. And then eventually when things were getting a bit too out of hand, then eventually they said no. I think the turning point came with this COVID thing and the locking up of the masajid and all that. Then they said no. Now a more formal stance needs to be taken. This wifaq and all that, it had no name prior to that. Work was carrying on with no name. For years, mashwaras were being held. They were giving instruction how to do work, what to speak on, whatever. There was no form given to it, no name, nothing. Eventually when this thing all happened, then they said, no, now you need a formal voice, right? So I remember Muhammad Hamid Sahib, he asked that you're ready for this thing. Yes. They are now to do work, So he said, then get ready to be from the few. Get ready to be from the few. You're not going to be very liked. People won't like you now. At that time, I'm thinking, no, can't be like that because as Abdul Hamid Sahib is there, Mukti Sahib is there, or Shabir Sahib is there. These are the muhtamims of the big darbarums. As soon as they are going to be on one platform and they're going to say something, all the ulama of the country are going to listen. Because all everybody is their students. All are going to this. Who will oppose them? And especially if all three are on one page. full opposite. And then at that time, other ulama, senior ulama too were there. Some have passed away now, some are still around. But every time, the words of Abdul Hamid Sahib, I remember it. Then get ready to be from the few. You won't be popular. You won't be popular. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq.